Maybe a few bullet points tonight about the scripture reading the brother read and you're hearing from Colossians chapter 2 about being complete in Christ. We know full well that the world says that we're just not complete in our lives unless that man completes us. Are we not complete in our lives unless that woman completes us? Are we just not complete unless we just have a big full family of 5 or 6 kids and then we just complete? But in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall live in light. And to the believer, if we want to be complete in Christ, we have to know full well that Christ is all in all. And he is the Christ, the Jesus of our lives, and in every respect, the light of the world. He's just our completeness. Isaiah said over in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 16, that Christ is the Savior of the world, and thou shalt know that the Lord am the Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. There's no one else in this life that's going to complete us. And if we are made to be complete in this life, then in the next life we're going to certainly be sitting around the throne of grace with God and the Holy One of Israel as well. Romans 11:36 says, for in him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Christ we have all that we need. He's our all in all. And since we have all that we need in Christ, we are made complete in Christ as well. Some of the things that I find that I've written down that made us complete in Christ is that our redemption was one thing that was complete in Christ. Because what stands between us and eternal life is that thing called sin. It's not a fantasy, but it's real. And sin is prevalent not only in the world, but sometimes it creeps into our lives as well, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And it separates us between God and our quest for eternal life. And that price for sin, it had to be paid. It must be paid. And when it's paid, it removes sin from us. And Christ, our Redeemer, did that for us. He removed sin from us and made our redemption complete. In Romans 8:3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law of Moses couldn't pay the price for sin. Satan was not only unwilling to pay the price for sin, he couldn't pay it. Even if you and I were back there living in that particular time of our lives, even today, we are not capable or able to pay the price for sin as well. But Christ did, because he was able to. Christ was willing to go to the cross for you and I as a sacrifice for the sin in our lives. He paid, as the song says, that debt we could not pay. And he died for us, that we might have life, and life in his name. Ephesians 1:7 says, for in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. So in Christ, the point is that redemption is complete in Christ. The second thing that I find that makes us complete in Christ is our justification. In Acts chapter 13, verses 30 through 39, it says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, to be pardoned is to stand guilty, yet to be forgiven. You're standing in front of the judge and you know full well that you're guilty for all that you've done, yet you find yourself forgiven. It's to have the just and due penalty for your guilt just removed, just right out of your life. And to be justified is to stand before God as though no sin was ever committed in your life. And Christ does that for us. Christ makes our justification complete. It's been said that the word justification is said, just as if I'd never sinned, justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Because we stand before the eyes of God when we stand before him as Christians, not as guilty sinners, but ones that are without sin, because Christ has cleansed us from our sins, thereby making our justification complete in Christ. And we're able to do this because our Lord and his sacrifice are more than capable of cleansing us in the eyes of Jehovah. And it takes us and removes all the shortcomings from our lives as we stand before God. And God sees us, and he props us up, he cleans us up, and gives us what we need that we might be justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says these words for those out in the world who feel like they just are so full of themselves. Paul said to the church in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed now. You're sanctified, you're justified in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." And those of us that are Christians, we are complete in Christ because Christ made our justification complete as if we had never, ever sinned. Holiness is something that we don't talk about a whole lot. But our holiness is complete in Christ. You know, there used to be a time when everybody was a holy roller and everybody just had to be holy before God. And we showed that, we wore our holiness on our shoulders. We even looked at people and the way that they carried themselves, we thought that they were holy. But 1 John 2:1-2 says these words, "My little children, these things are unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." That we are of ourselves unholy and wretched, there's no doubt about it. That we are of ourselves destitute and without hope on our own, there's just no doubt. That Jesus Christ, and by his sacrifice, we are made holy, there is no doubt that we joyfully declare to you and to the world that Jesus Christ is our holiness and our all in all. He has taken us and set us apart that we might be a people of his, children in his kingdom. And according to Romans 6:22, we are made free from sin by Jesus and his sacrifice. Free from sin to be just like God, by him and in him. The image of Christ bearing witness to us in our lives as the world looks at us and sees the Christ in us and the holiness that we carry as a result of being God's children. Christ has made our holiness complete. Peace and comfort. What a world we live in. They say there's peace when there is absolutely no peace. But our peace and comfort as Christians are complete in Christ as well. We need that peace. We need that comfort. Some people can't even sleep at night because they're so tormented with sin. Our world is filled with conflict and hurt on every side. There are people that are just shooting people in schools, grocery stores, in the streets. For whatever reason, it's only determined because of sin. And we need peace. And the peace and comfort that we have is the peace and comfort that we have that is complete in Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 2:14 that Christ is our peace. He's our peace. Romans 14:7, "And again, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." As the sorrows of this life mount around us, and they surely do, as the suffering and sickness grows on us as the years pass by, it's comforting to know that as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, the consolation of Christ also abounds in us as well, Paul says at the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 5. Because the sorrows of life will mount up. There's always going to be issues in our lives. But comfort and peace is something that we need. And God, through Christ, makes our comfort and our peace complete only in his Son. We labor and we toil as Christians. And sometimes laboring and toiling gets to a point where we just kind of take it for granted. We have to work for what we want. And some people, they don't understand what that is all about. But we know that our labor, as we work for that prize, is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Most workers will do better, I think, if they know why they're working, why they're doing what they're doing. Some people just go to work just to go to work. It's a routine. But Christ has not made us to be robots in this world. It's better to know why you're doing what you're doing than just to do it in a robotic sense. And we are plainly told In 1 Corinthians 15:58, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We work for the Christ, work for God. Ours is not an empty or meaningless endeavor. It's not anything out there that we're just doing on a whim, but we work with the hope and with the purpose. And this hope and this purpose allows us the opportunity to be both the one who works and the recipient of the works that are done. Because in Christ, all that we do is complete. Our labor and our toils are one day going to be over. And we're going to look and see the other side and know full well that our reward is great in heaven because God is there. We have enemies all around us. And the enemy that we deal with every day of our lives, that spiritual war, is with Satan. But you study in the book of Revelation, and we see that John received on the Isle of Patmos the ultimate triumph of the saints over the enemy. He received the idea that we are going to triumph over evil. And Paul assured us in Philippians 4:13, and even now, that we have power to do or accomplish all things through Christ Jesus. And we know that as we read the scriptures and we are assured by the Bible that we are more than conquerors in Christ, is what Paul tells us. And he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to have that victory in Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. So Satan is going to come, and he's going to fight against us each and every waking moment of our lives. But there's nothing that he can throw at us that we're not able to overcome, because Christ has given us the victory already. The whole book of Revelation, it simply says that we have won already. The triumph is ours. And Christ is our King. He's there for us. He rescues us. And he fights for us at every turn. There's nothing that the enemy can do to us to stop us, because our triumph is complete in the Christ. Our tranquility and our happiness are complete in Christ. You know, as a Christian, we can face the reality of death, and we can face it happily. We can face it unafraid. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I wonder sometimes if we really do believe that when we're faced with the reality of death in our lives. Some of us have not been faced with the reality of death at all. We see it in the lives of others, and certainly it affects us, but not directly. But to be directly affected by the face of death in our lives lets us know that tranquility and happiness that comes from God completes us. And to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And we can know that even if we live another 50 years, that we're going to live those 50 years unafraid, because we're living those 50 years for Christ. And that if our next breath is our last breath, even on today, if it's our last breath, are we ready to face the reality of death? If our next breath is our last, we know full well that because our tranquility and happiness are complete in Christ, that we are going to go home to be with Christ. There's no other place to go. And this removes from the faithful, those of us that know God and know that we are His, it moves the fear of death just overtaking us, or some illness just striking us down, and we're fearful of those things. It allows us to press along and go forward on our journey towards heaven, no matter come what may. We're going home. We're going home to be with Christ. The tranquility and the peace and the happiness that God brings to us in our lives is something that the world can never, ever benefit from. For me to live is Christ, and to die is certainly gain. And at the end of it all, what Christ completes for us is our resurrection. He completes for us our resurrection and our eternal glory. There's nothing as reassuring for me than the knowledge that someday Jesus is going to come and receive his own. He's coming back, and you ought to be reassured of that, and you ought to know that he's coming back. He's coming back to carry us home to glory. And you're going to be in that number, and I'm going to be in that number, and what a great day it's going to be. We're going to hear his voice. We're going to meet him in the air. And we're going to live on forever and ever, age without end. We're all living for Christ. We all want to be complete in Christ. We all want the wonderful blessings that come as being a Christian. And I know further that our redemption, for those of us that are faithful, that serve God in spirit and truth, our redemption in him is full. It's not a partial redemption. Christ isn't just giving us half of what he has to offer us. He doesn't give us a fourth of it. It's not contingent on some future battle, as they say out there in the world of Armageddon. That's going to be fought at the end of time. Our redemption is not contingent on any of those things that the world has to offer. All that needs to be done for me to be saved by Christ has already been done. My resurrection and my glory, eternal glory, are complete in the Christ. He is for me and for you our all in all. And all that needs to be done for me to be saved is to do my part. And the question comes to mind is, have you done your part to be complete in Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel and continue to study God's word that you might be complete and built up in Christ? Are you living right? That's a question. Are you living right? And not just living right, are you righteous as you live right? Have you positioned yourself in such a way that assures you that your completeness is in Christ? Or does someone else make you complete? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it that gaggle of kids that just make you complete? We are complete in Christ, who is the light of this world, who's the light of our life, who's the path that we walk to every believer in Christ. He's our all in all. And in every respect, we are made complete in Christ because God has willed it to be so. He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever believes in him will be complete and have everlasting life. We're complete in Christ. Nothing else completes us. Nothing else calls us to heaven except the word of God. We can hear his word in John 6:45. We can believe his word and know full well that we are complete by the belief that we hear. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We can repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5, and not compare ourselves to other people that are sinning as well and think that we're going to get the lesser of the punishment. He says in Luke 13:3-5, "I tell you now, unless you repent, you will likewise perish as well." We've got to confess Christ. We've got to confess Christ not only with our mouths, but with our lives as well, because Christianity is a livelihood. It's a way of living. It's not just some word that's pinned up on a wall. Christianity is real. It's for spiritual people. It's for people that God has called to make his own, that we might be complete in him. So we've got to hear his word, believe his word. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to confess our sins. We've got to be baptized in Christ for the remission of those sins. Have him wash them away. And only then, when your sins are washed away, are you complete in Christ. You can't complete yourself. No one can complete you as well. But God sent the Christ, his very own son Jesus, to complete us and bring us back home. And we can help you today to understand that Christ is all in all and complete in our lives. Why don't you come? We stand and sing the invitation song.